We welcome in for the first time the Utica Fire Chief Russell Brooks. Russ, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Mike, thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely.
Here. So happy to be here.
Great to have you here. If you could just pull that microphone down just a little bit closer. So, now, it's funny. I was watching the news yesterday, and the story wasn't funny, but it popped into my mind just how important the Utica Fire Department is. The ski lift that broke at Val-by-Alice, okay? In a situation like that, really, everybody's got to be kind of standing around scratching their head. What do we do? Who do we call? How do we fix this? The Utica Fire Department comes in. Is that something you train for? Is that something that you know how to do?
Oh, absolutely. We have training sessions up there during the summer.
Really?
And then when the weather gets inclement, we go up and test our training during inclement weather. So it's, you know, when you're a fire department, it's more than being a fire department. We're an emergency service department. And anything that goes wrong in the city,
so you're prepared for any number of emergencies.
Anything that goes wrong in a city, we get called.
So you get a call on a Sunday afternoon that says, we're calling from the Val-by-Alice Ski Center. One of our lifts is jammed. The folks have been up here for an hour. And you just automatically say, we know how to handle that. Not a problem.
Not quite that easy.
Well, all right. Well, let's talk a little bit about, first of all, the inclement weather. This has got to really hinder the way you guys do your job. And especially when you combine both the snow and the cold, that's got to make things a little bit tougher.
Well, you know, the cold and the snow, they stress both men and machinery.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is the Northeast, and,
just gotta keep plugging.
This weather put us out of business, we wouldn't be worth very much.
There you go.
You know, this is the time when we get tested.
Okay. And you wouldn't really know it by looking at your performance record, because you do a great job, you being the Utica Fire Department. But you're not, as far as numbers go, you don't have nearly the manpower that you had years ago, correct?
Oh, no, absolutely not. When I was appointed many years ago, there were 256 firefighters in the city and staff. 256. Currently, there's 127.
Wow.
So we've been downsizing, you know,
so
because of financial conditions. And actually, I'd like to think that we are a model for the city. You know, we at one time we were the largest department in the city, and we've downsized to less than half. We have an ISO rating of 2.
What is that?
Which the Insurance Service Office rates every community in the country for fire protection. Okay. Every one. And this rating is one of the components that goes into determining fire insurance, especially commercial fire insurance. And we're a number 2, which puts us in the top 1% in the country.
Wow.
So we're quite proud of that. And, we've evolved into an emergency service department. You know, it isn't exclusively fire as it was, when I get on. We do medical calls. We do ambulance. We have a very sophisticated codes program. We have a state-of-the-art hazmat team. We do confined space rescue, just a complete array of emergency services. And as I said, anything that goes wrong in the city, we're called.
And we'll get into some of those departments in just a little bit. But we're talking to Chief Russell Brooks of the Utica Fire Department. How do you lose more than half of your force and still continue to perform at such a high level? What changes have you had to make?
You know, this is a tough question. We've been downsized over a period of 20 years, 20, 30 years. And the last major cut was in the 90s, where we lost 50 men. And actually, it took us about 10 years to develop a plan to operate under those conditions. Do we operate exactly the same as we did when we hit 256 members? Absolutely not. At that time, we could handle 2 fires at the same time. We tend to rely more on mutual aid. As we did with the brewery fire, and we called in our neighbors and they came in. They brought some tremendous equipment and they did a great job. And that basically allowed us to save that entire complex. Hmm. We're basically Varick Street.
So looking at the cuts that you've made and budgets being what they are you stretched about as thin as you can go at this point? And I hate to put it that way, but...
Well, you know something? For the past 16 years that I've been an administrator and gone over the budget, every year, you know, the contention is we're going to go through this budget and eliminate the fat. We're going to go through this budget and eliminate the fat.
Well, is there
the
any fat
gonna...
left?
No, there's no fat
okay.
left. You know, it's... And they got to that point a number of years ago, you know, I'm thinking maybe 6-8 years ago. And then the elected officials approached me and they approached the department and said, well, is there any revenue sources? Is there any revenue sources, you know, because of the obviously they didn't want to raise taxes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we looked at revenue sources and. You know, we address that. So I just personally don't see where we can downsize. You can downsize more, but you know you'll be laying off the guy that crawls into a burning building
sure.
and drags you out, or comes and does CPR on a family member. Mm-hmm. I believe that the fire department is a model for the city, the way we operate and the way we've downsized.
Well, if you can continue to perform at the level that you do and downsize the way you have, certainly other departments could take a look at you, I'm sure, and learn something.
Yeah.
Revenue sources, let's talk about, is the ambulance a revenue source?
Oh, the ambulance is a tremendous revenue source.
Okay.
You know, about 30 years ago, we started responding to EMS calls. And for 25 years, we responded to, say, 5,000 calls a year. And we took the call at our dispatch center, and we responded, EMTs and paramedics with basic and advanced life support equipment that did basic and advanced life support mm-hmm. and stabilized the individual. And then the individual would be transported by a private ambulance service.
Okay, so you're doing the legwork and someone else is coming in. And
well,
okay.
and very often we would go on one of our guys would actually get on the private ambulance and go to the hospital to maintain a continuity of care for the patient.
Okay.
And then the Common Council passed an ordinance about 7 years ago. I think we've been operating an ambulance almost 6 years, that would require us to do this last component of EMS, which was the transport also.
Okay.
And it maintained a continuity of care for the patient, but it allowed the city to bill. And the revenues that will be coming in this year for that ambulance will be somewhere around $2 million. And the net will be, in my mind, over $1 million, which I believe probably equates to 7% in property taxing, you know, increase. But more importantly, it's just elevated the pre-hospital care in the, you know, in the city of Utica. I firmly believe that if you have a cardiac incident or motor vehicle accident or any kind of medical issue, you want to be in the city of Utica because the EMS service is tremendous here.
And your ambulance service offers some technologies and features that really aren't found not only not in our area, but really only in a couple places in the entire country.
Well, when we started this, what we referred to as 12-lead technology on all our ambulances, we were the first in the country. And what this does, it allows the emergency room doctors to completely analyze an EKG before we get there, and even before the patient's transported, and they can get their cath lab ready and get going if they determine it's going to be necessary. We started this in May, and for the first month, we were the only ones in the country out of 12,000 ambulance services that had this technology. Currently, there are, I believe, we're one of four
okay.
that have it. So, yeah, we provide, in my mind, we provide a very high level of pre-hospital care.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the rates, because that's been brought up. That's been brought up by city councilors. Frank Vecera has been, you know, on, a crusade of sorts to, you know, at the very least, find out why the city's ambulance rates are so much higher than Kunkel's ambulance rates. Is that a product of the fact that you offer these new technologies and Kunkel doesn't?
Well, let's, you know, before we talk about that, we have to clarify the issue. Mm-hmm. Many statements that are made are simply political statements and a soundbite, and they, you know, the individuals don't give the entire picture.
Right, there's no context. Sure.
First of all, mm-hmm. okay, 40% of the people that we pick up and take to the hospital, our ambulance service, are Medicare, Medicaid. The rate is set.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
50% are HMOs, which no matter what the price is, they pay the copay. So that's 90% that the rates are fixed.
Okay.
Okay. And people pay the same. Now you have 10%. And many of the people that we take are people that private ambulance companies won't take, you know, and we refuse no one.
Okay.
You know, we take anyone. There is a small percent, 2%, okay, that are self-pay
mm-hmm.
and get charged a higher rate. And actually, we're working on a concept now to alleviate, you know, the expense for that 2%. So we're talking 2% of the people are getting charged more. I don't believe in rate fixing, that we have to be the same. I don't even know if it's legal. I don't believe that, you know, private ambulance companies, any private ambulance company is going to open their books entirely and let you look at the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
Our average charge that we collect per person, and we go on probably 6,500 calls a year, ambulance calls, is $294. So you have to put this in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
We arrive with a full-size ambulance, the state-of-the-art technology. We have all this bariatric equipment, which we're getting more and more calls from around the entire area for, you know, for heavy people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just provide a top-notch service. As I said, most of the rates are fixed. It isn't charged. I don't control the rates. I run the daily operation. And you know what? If the city administration wants to change the rates, they can change them. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not really an issue with me.
When do you suppose that your ambulance, the city ambulance service, will gain certification?
Well, it's a long process. Mm-hmm. It's before a neutral party right now, a judge. Okay. And my personal opinion is I feel confident that he'll have a ruling somewhere within a month or two. It's, you know, anytime this issue has gone before a neutral party or a judge, and it has gone before a judge, you know, they've indicated that you can't stop a city from providing services for its
people. So
you're
pretty confident that you'll get your certification?
I'm confident, you know, confident.
Okay, it's Fire Chief Russell Brooks, Utica Fire Chief Russell Brooks. And that's about all we have time for today.
Okay, great talking to you.
Well, likewise.
I really enjoyed it.
We've got this huge amount of snow going. What do we need to let people know? Do the people have to shovel fire hydrants?
Well, you know, if they can keep their hydrant clear, I got to believe they'll sleep better, they'll be safer, they'll be... you know, I'm not looking for anyone, you know, that's a senior or mm-hmm. has any kind of risk to go out and start trying to shovel their fire hydrant. You know, if your hydrant's buried, even give us a call.
Okay.
You know, but once the snow stops, we'll be out there round the clock digging out.
But if you're young and strong and healthy,
yeah,
get out there, shovel that thing, and keep up. Don't wait till all the snow falls. You
absolutely.
Know, go out a couple of times. That would make your job so much easier.
Okay.
I applaud you for the job that you do and the cuts that you've had to endure over the years.
I really enjoyed chatting with you this
okay,
morning.
Love to have you back sometime.
Okay.
Okay. Utica Fire Chief Russell Brooks with us this morning.